Hope you brought, lots of paper and pens. All right, I'm going to give out lots of notes tonight. We'll go pretty fast, so try and keep up. But we're going to do a study tonight, and we're going to do about half of it tonight and half of it next Wednesday night. Since I get two Wednesday nights with you, we're going to do a two-part series. I got 15 pages of notes, so that's about 7.5 a night, right? All right, somewhere along in there. We got lots of notes, but it'll go quick. We're going to do a series, though. Let's get started tonight. We'll go ahead, we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll dive right into our study. And about 10 o'clock, we'll quit and have some prayer service, right? All right, so let's see. Zach, how about praying for us? Man, all right. Take your Bibles. You can turn first to Psalms 147. I'll give you a couple of verses here by way of introduction, but we're going to study over the next 2 weeks, and I'll admit it'll be a little bit of a crash course. We do this study with the teens, and I think we do it in about 5 lessons, so you're going to get it in 2. But you're adults, right? You should be able to get it faster, right? You should be able to listen faster, think faster, write faster, all those things. All right. We're going to look at numbers in the Bible. I love numbers. How many of you like numbers? All right. Numbers are fun, right? I mean, numbers make sense. They don't lie, right? You know, words lie. But numbers don't lie. I mean, if you got 4 and you got 4, that's going to be 8, right? As long as you got a plus sign, right? But if you got a minus sign, well, you're going to have 0. It's not, well, you know, in this case, when, you know, you have this little rule, you know. Numbers are practical. But, you know, God is a God of numbers. Now, a couple of things we want this study to do. Number one, it's just something fun for us to do. And I wanted you to kind of enjoy yourself a little bit, on Wednesday nights for the next couple of weeks. And I thought, you know, our crowds may be a little bit lighter. Number one, we've lost about 13 or 12 or 10 people at least that would normally be here. And then the rest heard I was preaching, so they decided that they would take a vacation, and probably don't blame them. I wish I had that luxury, but it'd be kind of hard. So, but I wanted to do something kind of fun. So it's a couple of things. It shows you some really cool stuff about your Bible. But it also, for those that may not be fully aware, I mean, you understand some things about the King James Bible. But one of the things that this study does is it assures, or it gives you strength and confidence in the fact that the King James Bible is the right Bible. It's the only Word of God. And we'll show you some instances with that. But, you know, not just the words, but God was even active in putting in our chapters and our titles, as we're going to see. Not our titles, but our chapters and our verse numbers and our books and all of those things. So, noticing here, first off, we'll look at a couple of verses just to show us that God is a God of numbers. And last of all, not only does it increase our biblical knowledge, not only does it assure ourselves or gives us confidence in the King James Bible, but it also strengthens our faith in how important God's Word is. If God took the time to work the things out that you're going to see in this study, then it should encourage you that I should spend, and you should spend, each one of us should spend way more time in the words of God, dealing with the words of God, than probably what we do. So in the book of Psalms 147, I believe, is that where I told y'all? All right, Psalms 147, and we want verse number 5. We're just going to show a couple of introductory verses, show you how God is concerned with numbers, those kind of things. Psalms 147, verse 4. All right, He telleth the numbers, or the number of the stars. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been way out in the middle of nowhere where there's no city lights and no illumination from the man-made lights, but there are millions upon millions upon millions of stars out there. And God's got every one of them numbered. Now, that not only means He's serious about numbers, but it means He can count really high. Right? All right, so I mean, you know, this maybe this thing we were joking the other night at the graduation, maybe this thing about infinity is true, you know, but God would only know that, right? In verse 4, He telleth the number of the stars. Not only that, but He calleth them all by their names. They each have a name. That's an amazing fact when you think about it. Great is our Lord, and of great power, His understanding is infinite. So there is such a thing as infinite. But it's not that little sign that we deal with in math. It's God's understanding. But notice here, let's take our Bibles, look at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Looking over there, just a few books. Isaiah chapter 40, we'll look at verse 25 and verse 26. Isaiah chapter 40. Verses 25 and 26. The Bible says, God is speaking here, "To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one that faileth." Now, you say, what does that verse have to do with numbers? Well, he says, who created all the host. Have you ever really just sat down and thought about everything that was created? Now, see, realize we don't believe in evolution, right? We don't believe this, that a handful of things were created and everything else evolved. You know, but notice here, how many insects are there? You know, I mean, how many different animals are there? How many different types of plants are there? How many different types of trees are there? How many things out there in heaven that God has created, the hosts of those that we don't even really fully know about yet? So when you think about that, He not only created all those things, but the Bible says that He numbered them. That's an insane number when you start really thinking about it. I mean, you know, we think in the modern day that you and I live in, with the computational skills of the computers and the accounting programs that they have now, we think, boy, we can really do some things. I mean, some of you grew up back in the days of slide rules, right? Anybody know how to work a slide rule? All right, so some of you, I mean, those were complicated things, and they could do pretty good at counting, but nothing like what you got in calculators today. I remember when the first graphing calculator come out, and we thought, oh, that's cool, and I mean, that's old stuff nowadays. But notice here, God created all these things, and He put a number on them. And then last of all, a famous verse that most of you are very familiar with, look in Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter number 10, verse number 30. Matthew chapter number 10, how concerned with God is on numbers? Well, it appears very, very concerned with the fact that He numbered everything. Now, but the very, verse 30, Matthew 10, 30, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Say, what about the ones that have fallen out? Well, God knows every one of those. He knows which number you still got and which number you're missing. You know, and he can tell you, he can add them up. See, if He's numbered all the hairs on your head, I mean, you know, you think, well, that's an insignificant thing, right? I mean, you know, how many of you, if you have a wife like mine, you know, there's lots of hairs, you know, that show up all over the place, right? You know, especially in the bathroom where there's a brush or where there's anywhere near, you know. It's just interesting, you know. I went to a bachelor party that didn't sound right. What are those things called? There are such things as that. What are those things called? What is it called? A shower for the ladies, right? When the girl gets married, they have a wedding shower. What do they do for the guys? Sometimes they have these things. Oh, I guess they called it a tool party or something, you know. All the guys got around and gave tools and all those things. And it was for a guy at a church I knew. And so the father of the bride, I never will forget, he wrapped it up. It was all beautiful in a box and it was all intricate. And I mean, you really thought it was going to be something special. And when the guy opened it up, he pulled it out. It was one of those very long, you guys will know what I'm talking about, one of those scribes and seal picks. One of them very, you know, great big long ones. And I thought, and he said, are you wondering what that's for? And I thought, well, I'm wondering, you know, I mean, that's a good tool, but, you know, why would you give it? He said, about once a month, you can now clean the hair out of the drain in the bathroom with that. Because he was marrying his daughter, you know, and I mean, you know, and I thought, wow, that's, yikes, you know, don't want to get one of those kind of tools, but probably should have. But nonetheless, God knows the numbers of our hairs, right? He knows all the numbers. They're numbered. Every hair on your head is numbered. And so therefore He knows it. And so God is a God of numbers. And when He created things, there are certain things in the Bible that seem to be connected with numbers. Now, one of the things that I want you to get straight right off the bat, when we say that a number is connected to something here in this study, it is not 100% always going to be the case. In other words, when we say, like, for instance, the first number on our list tonight is going to be the number one, and most of the time you're going to find it connected with unity. And when we say that, that doesn't mean that every single time you find a one in the Bible is connected with unity. But what we're saying is that more often than not, you know, what is that they call it in a civil case? Preponderance of the evidence, you know. It don't have to be guilty beyond a shadow of a doubt. It just has to be more likely than not, right? That's preponderance of the evidence. That's what we're talking about here. So not every one of these numbers will be as significant as the next, but what you will find when you study the Bible is that most of these numbers, it's connected with these things so many times that it's hard to turn a deaf eye to it. Or, you know, deaf eye. It's hard to turn a blind eye to it. I'll get it right in a minute. So you want to pay attention to these. So let's take our Bibles and let's get into this study. First thing we're going to do, in most of these numbers, we always look at the first occurrence, because the first occurrence of something in your Bible is usually significant. You know, the first time a word occurs, right? The very first time the word sacrifice occurs in your Bible? Anybody know where it is? Genesis is a good guess. All right, it would be, we're not going to turn there, but it's in Genesis chapter 22, where Abel is offered up by Isaac as a sacrifice. Abraham said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. I'm sorry, that's the first time the word worship occurs in your Bible. I knew it was close, right? Worship, that's the first time worship is connected with the sacrifice. I get it right. But you see, the first time you see things in the Bible, usually they're connected with something, you know? First time you see the number 13 is connected with rebellion. And those of you that have teenagers, you don't have to ask yourself one time why that is so, right? And you know, something magical about that number 13. All right, now, take your Bibles, look in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 9. We're going to see the first time the word the number 1 occurs in your Bible. So we'll go all the way back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. We've just said that 1 in your Bible is unity. Now, we don't have to spend a lot of time with these. Some we'll spend a good bit of time with. Some we will not, because it's simple and it's easy to see that 1 is unity, right? I mean, if you're, you know, one is one. You know, when they say two people are as one, that means they're a unit, right? The husband and the wife, they're a unit, you know. Family members, you know, they make up one family. It means a unit or a unity. So we don't have to, we don't have to dig too much on this one. But in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 9, the Bible says, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place." See it? In other words, unity. Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. So the first time we see the word one in the Bible, we see gathering together of waters into one place. We see unity, right? We'll just look at a couple of others real quick in your Bibles. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Look in verse number 4. This is a famous verse in your Bible. Many of you are already aware of it, but it's a great verse. If you don't have it marked, it's a good one to mark, kind of make a mental note upon. But the Bible says here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4, it says, "The Lord our God is one God." So we need to mark that. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." That means there's only one. Right? That's a great verse in your Bible, not only just for this study, but for a lot of things. So when God uses the number one, He usually is referencing some kind of unit. It's unity. It speaks of togetherness. Now, one other place I'd like for you to look, and we'll go real quickly over there, is Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. I'm sorry. That is totally wrong. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter number 4. How about that one? It's a little bit, it's close. Ephesians chapter number 4. Now, the Bible gives you a series of ones here. Now, if the Lord our God is one Lord, and we saw that in Deuteronomy, we'll also see it here in Ephesians. All right. In verse number 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 4. Now, the Bible says here, a lot of people call these seven unities. You say, why? Because there's seven things that are said to be one. So a lot of people refer to these as seven unities in the Word of God. Now, notice here, what does it say in verse number 4? There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. So there's lots of times the word one is used in the Bible, and usually it's always going to be connected with a unity there. An interesting one I forgot to show you. We kind of skipped over it getting out of Genesis. But in Genesis 11, 1. That's all ones, right? See, not only is it just the numbers, but God knew what He was doing when He inspired a man to put your chapter numbers and verses in there. There's a lot of people that say, oh, the chapter numbers and verses, that God didn't have anything to do with that. Well, throughout this study, I think you'll beg to differ. And you say, why is that important? Well, because think about it. If you have a Bible that's not a King James, and it takes verses out, like Acts 8:36, you can't find that in an NIV, and it takes that verse out, then doesn't it change all the numbers? Now, you say, what does a Bible do like the NIV? Well, if you read an NIV, it goes Acts 8:35, 8:37. Acts 8:36 and skips Acts 8:37 and then it picks up with Acts 8:38. You say why? Because if it didn't, it would have the wrong number of verses in the chapter and everybody would catch it. But see how tricky they are? You see, they want to keep to the numbers. So there's something important about these numbers. In Genesis chapter 11 verse 1, the Bible says they were all, the whole earth was of one language. That's right there at the Tower of Babel. Back over there in Genesis chapter 11. So one is easy. We see one is unity. All right, let's move on to the number 2. Take your Bibles. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 and look at the first time we see it. Genesis chapter number 1. You might want to stick a card in Genesis chapter 1 because a lot of the first occurrences are right there in Genesis. So Genesis chapter number 1, look in verse number 16. We'll see the first time the number 2 is used. Now, 2 in your Bible is usually always going to be connected with division, right? Because if 1 is unity, then 2 is division. Now, think about it. When you divide something, you always get a minimum of 2 parts. Now, I realize you can divide something into thirds. You can divide it into fours. You can divide it into eighths. You can divide it into sixteenths. You can divide it into 32nds. You can divide it into 64s. You can divide it into 128s. And I'm not going any higher than that. But you can just keep dividing it and dividing it and dividing it. I understand that. But as a rule of numbers, if you divide something, it's a minimum of 2. Right? That's the smallest unit you can divide anything into. Right? All right, 2 is a number of division. Notice in Genesis chapter 1, verse 16, once again, God in creation, and God made 2 great lights. The greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And He made the stars also. We back up to verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to do what? To divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. So God made 2 great lights, the sun and the moon, and He put them there to divide the day from the night. 2 in number division. You see it over and over again. All throughout the Bible, you'll see it. Now, not every time do you see the number 2. Will it mark division? But you know what? And God's also got some unique ways when He divides up. Now, when you look at the tribes and when you look at the disciples, how many tribes of Israel were there? 12. All right. Y'all are excellent. How many disciples were there? 12, man. All right, y'all are doing so good, all right? Now, what's unique is, when God divides them up, what did He divide the 12 tribes into? He divided them into 2 groups, right? He divided the 10 northern tribes from the 2 southern tribes. There's that number connected with division again. When He divides the disciples up, a lot of times it'll be 10 and 2. He divides up a lot of things that way by 10 and 2. Notice here, notice over there in Mark, I think it's in Mark. Is that the one I have? No. That's a different one, but we'll look at it. Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter 10, let's look at verse number 35. The disciples divided themselves here by 2. Notice this. Well, not really the disciples, but one of the disciples' mother, but she separated 2 out. And you see this a couple times. Mark chapter number 10. In verse number 35, you'll have this reference. Mark chapter 10 and verse number 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, actually, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. That sounds just like us, right? We go to God, we like what we desire. And he saith unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? And they said, Grant unto us, that we may sit one on the right hand and the other on the left hand. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they separated themselves by two. When Jesus sent the 70 out, back over there in Matthew chapter 10, I believe it is, how did he send them out? Two by two. Now, for that one reason right there, a lot of people always say the number of two is witness. But you see, there again, in that case it is witness, but it's still division. He divided them up two by two. So you see, a lot of times you're going to have the number of two. It's going to be connected with division. All right, now let's move on to the number three. Anybody want to take a wild stab in the dark at what three is going to be connected with? Trinity, very good. All right. Some of you have been through this before. For some of you, it's a review. For some of you, it's brand new. And that's why I'm trying to give you a few interesting things here that maybe even the ones that know the numbers may not see all the connections or have all the references. Take your Bibles. Let's go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter number 5. Genesis chapter number 5. And we're going to look at verse number 22 for the first time that we see three in the Bible. Genesis chapter 5, verse number 22. It's connected with a man by the name of Enoch. Most of you know about Enoch. He was the man that walked with God. And after he begot Methuselah, and God took him. He was raptured out, so to speak. He's a type of the church. Notice here in Genesis 5:22, and Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. There you see it, the first time. The word for the number three. Now, when we look at three, it's going to be connected with the Trinity. But just so you see something interesting there, the first time the word three occurs, it's in chapter 5, verse 22, right? All right, what is 5 plus 2? 7. What is 7 plus 2? 9. Aren't there three members of the Trinity? 3 times 3 is 9. It's a multiple of 9. First time the word three occurs in your Bible, it shows up in a verse where you add the numbers up, you get 5 plus 2 plus 2 is 9. You think that's a coincidence? Now, you say, well, this one might be, yeah, but we're going to look at numbers and numbers and numbers of these. It just shows you how important the Bible is. And if God took time to number all the stars and give them all names, and He took time to number everything that He created, and He took time to number all the hairs of your head, don't you think He would take time to be involved in the numerics in the Bible? And I mean, that if He sees it important, then we should see it as the same way. All right, now, notice, we know that Jesus Christ, of course, is the second member of the Trinity. We see a lot of things with the Trinity, but if you think about it, this is something that's interesting. Who was active in the creation? All right, it was technically all three, right? We know that in Genesis it said, God said, let there be light. We know that in 1 John it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and all things were made by the Word. So that puts Jesus active. But then God also said, over there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, when He was going to make man, He said, let us create man in our image. Right? Well, what is God? God is a Trinity, right? 1 John 5:7. God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All right? So therefore, when you start thinking about it, everything that was created, just about everything that I can think of, can be broken up into three groups. Let's take a few simple ones here. What about matter? Isn't everything made of matter? All right? What are the three stages of matter, you physical science experts? Solid, liquid, or gas. Right? See? Trinity is all three. Let's put it more practical. What is a family? It's a father, a mother, and a child. You say, was it 10 children or one child? It doesn't matter. Whether you got one child or 50 kids, you're still a family, right? All right. Three basic units there. What about electricity? You got a positive, a ground, and a neutral in AC. But what about in an atom? Aren't all things made of atom? Didn't atoms all make up matter? What have you got? You got a proton, electron, and a neutron. You got three basic parts. So isn't it wild? I mean, you know, think about man. Every one of you sitting here, you're a body, you're a soul, and you're a spirit, right? First Thessalonians 5:23 tells us that. What was God? God was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Everything He created, He said, let us make man in our image. You know, God the Father, that represents the Spirit. You know, nobody, you don't see God. You know, like your spirit. Hey, what about God the God the body? That's like our flesh. That represents Jesus Christ. Jesus was the physical representation. And what about, I'm sorry, God the Father's like the soul. I said it backwards. And God the Holy Spirit, that's like unto the Spirit. So you see everything God done. You know, when you look at the sun, the sun has basically three types of rays. It has rays that you can feel but not see. It has rays you can see but not feel. And then it has rays that you can neither see nor feel. You know, like UV, the things that burn you when you go out into the sun. You feel the heat rays, but you don't really feel the UV. But you notice it after you've been out in it a while. And then it affects you. So you see, everything is in threes. You know, when you think about it, there's only three places that your soul can be. It can either be in heaven, it can be in hell, or it can be on earth. But that's the only three places. So you see, when God created everything, it was created, and He worked as a Trinity. God is a Trinity. Therefore, everything that He created, it mirrors Him. It can always be broken into that. So you run three through the Bible, you'll find it connected with a Trinity. Now, you know, it's kind of interesting. You say, do you think that might be why God chose for third day for Jesus to be resurrected? Have you ever wondered why? I mean, why did He pick that? Did it have, I mean, from the beginning of time, He set it up that way. You say, why? Because when you read through the Bible in the Old Testament, you find a lot of cool things happening on the third day. You find a lot of things that point to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God picked that number. You say, why? Because it had it's a connection. You know, that's Jesus Christ, life from the dead. Alright, so we see the number three. There's lots of things there. Now, moving on, you say, boy, we seem to be going fast. Don't worry, five and six will slow us down. But notice here, when you get to number four, now, say, what about number four? I don't know, anybody got any ideas? I need some. I've heard a lot of different things. The problem with number four is, you know, what we said at the beginning, most of the time these numbers are a great enough percentage connected with something that it forms a pattern. But when you study four, you run into a lot harder time creating a definite pattern. There's been a lot of theories, there's been a lot of ideas thrown out there. I'm not saying one's right, I'm not saying one's wrong. One of the most educated guesses that I've seen, bear in mind this is a guess, but a lot of people want to connect number four with the earth. You say, why? Well, there's four directions, right? There's north, east, west, and south. And for that reason, mankind says four corners of the globe, right? You know, that used to be one of the popular things on the Marines posters, you know. We're serving, we're protecting when all four corners of the world, you know. There's four basic elements, wind, earth, fire, water, right? And did I miss one? Wind, earth, fire, water. No, I got them all. All right. So you got four basic elements. So there are some places in the Bible where you can see four connected with the earth. But you know, there's also, you know, there's four creatures around the throne, but that's only because the fifth one fell. You know, over there, the anointed cherub that covereth, he fell. But you know, there's lots of fours in the Bible, and I've never seen anybody get a real running pattern and keep it, you know, significant. So some of these numbers we just kind of pass over with a glance. But now let's get to number five, because that's a big one. That's an easy one, but it's also a misunderstood one. If you go to most Bible bookstores and you pick up a book on what we're talking about, biblical numerology, you will find the number five is said to be grace. And the biggest reason for that is because they say the number five, there was five wounds in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, is that true? Yes. And so Jesus died and by His death and grace, you know, we're saved, all that, we're saved by grace. But let me ask you something. There's a whole lot of other times grace appears in the Bible and it's not necessarily connected with five. So when we get to the number 5, let's go back over there to Genesis. Yeah, you may not have left. I can't remember where we were. But in Genesis, where do we want to go here? Genesis chapter 5. Well, wouldn't that be a good place for the first time you see the number 5, right? Genesis chapter number 5. Let's look here in Genesis chapter number 5. I want you to notice something. Genesis chapter 5, the first time we see 5, and we're going to tell you that most of you have heard this, but the number 5 is always connected with death. More times than not, it'll be death. You say, what about that grace thing with the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah, 5 wounds killed him. It's still death. More ways than you want to look at it. It's still death. The first time you see the number 5, look in your Bibles there in verse number 6. And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos. All right, now let's look at something. What is significant about Genesis chapter 5? All right. Let's look at something here. I want to show you something kind of neat in your Bibles. This is why it's important to do your Bible study. Alright, notice in verse number 1, this is the book of the generation of who? Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God created he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them. And God called their name Adam. You ever wonder why women take on the name of their husband? It's right there. See, everything in this world comes from the Bible. It's just lost people don't want to admit it. You ever thought about that? Women have no name of their own. They either bear their father's name, or if they get married, they bear their husband's name. Now I realize some societies like Canada, they adopted a policy. Once they started allowing people to divorce regularly, then they adopted a policy where legally a woman can't change her name to her husband's last name. Some countries do that. You say, why? It just avoids all the hassle of changing it back because they were having so many divorces. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's just heading off a problem because of sin in the first place most of the time. But notice here. Notice this right here. Notice it says, man, he called their name Adam. Eve was man's doing. Adam named his wife Eve, not God. Adam called her Eve because she was the mother of all living. Not God. God called their name Adam. That's why, Miss So-and-so, you know, they used to, the old timers, a lot of women used to go by, I am Mrs. whatever her husband's name, first and last, she would go by that. She would introduce herself that way. I am Ms., you know, whatever your husband's name was, first and last. But we don't see that anymore. Now, but we're getting off the subject. We got to get back to 5 and death. All right? Verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years, and he got a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And Adam and the days of Adam after he begot Seth were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Notice he died? All right, look at verse number 8. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he what? And he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begot Canaan. And Enos lived after he begot Canaan 850 years and begot sons and daughters. In verse 11, and all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And then we go down there to verse number, verse number 17, and all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. You say, what happened to everybody in Genesis chapter 5? They all died. Say, why? Because 5 is the number of death. Look in Genesis 5:5. Who was that that died in Genesis 5:5? That was Adam. Do you realize that was the first natural death recorded in the Bible? Say, what about Abel? Abel was murdered. But by the way, he was murdered by a man that had 5 fingers on his hand. You know, but nonetheless, hey, Adam is the first natural death in your Bible. And you know what? It occurs right here in Genesis chapter 5. In the whole chapter, Genesis died. And you say, well, that's significant. Well, let me just show you something real quick. Hold your place here in Genesis 5. Flip over to Matthew chapter number 1. I want you to see something. Who was the first man ever created? Well, that was Adam, right? Couldn't Adam have had eternal life? Yes, but he ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and he sinned, right? And because of that sin, he died. Now let me ask you something. Adam, while you're turning, I'm asking you a lot of questions. Matthew chapter 1 is where you're going. When you look at Adam, Adam was created in the image of God, right? But when he got down there and he sinned, then it says Seth, in Genesis chapter 5, we just read it, it says Seth was born after his image, not after God's. You say, why? Because the result of sin is what? death. Which, by the way, how many letters are in the word death? Five. All right. How many letters are in the word Satan? Five. All right. First five books of the Bible, what are they? Moses. That ain't even a book of the Bible. Moses wrote them though, didn't he? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, right? What are those five books called? The Pentateuch or the law, right? You know what the law does for you? It kills you. Paul said the law came and I died. Say why? Because you can't keep it. Isn't it wild? There's five books of the law. You can't keep it. It's what kills you. But looky here, look at Matthew chapter number 1. So why is this significant in Genesis 5 that they died? Well, it's significant because they're in the image of Adam. Now in Matthew chapter 1, let's look at something here. Now you see something that's weird, that's only worded this way. Once again, why is the King James Bible so important? Because you don't have these teachings without these wordings and without these numbers. Alright, Matthew chapter 1, what is the first verse? The book of the generations of Jesus Christ. Where have we seen that before? Well, if you're holding your place, look at Genesis chapter number 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of who? Adam. So we've got a book of the generations of Adam, and we got a book of the generations of Jesus Christ, right? Now, they're going to be the same people. Look down there in verse number 1. The book of the generations of Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judas and his brethren. And Judas begot Phares and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begot Ursam, and Ursam begot Aram, and Aram begot Abinadab, and Abinadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Solomon, and Solomon begot Rahab, and Boaz begot Obed and Ruth, and Obed and Jesse, and all the way down through there. But now, what have you not seen in Matthew chapter 1? You don't see death. Nobody dies. Now, I know they all died. I'm not trying to say they live forever. But why, but isn't that wild? In the book of the generations of Adam, it says, and they died, and they died, and they died. That happens to be in Romans chapter 5. I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 5. But you get over here where you deal with the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, and nobody dies. So-and-so begot so-and-so. So-and-so begot so-and-so. Say, why? Take your Bibles, look in 1 Corinthians 15, which, by the way, is a multiple of 5, right? 3 times 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's wild, isn't it? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, or 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the whole chapter is on resurrection. Life from the dead. Without the Trinity. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that Jesus Christ was raised up by that same Spirit that's going to raise us up. Or we're going to be raised up by the same Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. 3 times 5 is 15. God played a whole chapter about resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, if you would, where is it at? Oh, I'm in the wrong place. No wonder I can't see it. Look in verse 22. Now, if you add up 1, 1 and 5 is 6, right? You add up 2 and 2, verse 22, you get 4, that's 10, that's 2 times 5. Still a multiple of 5. Now look in verse 22, what do you got? For as in Adam, what? All die. That's why in Genesis 5, in Adam's generations, the book of the generations of Adam, all die. You know why? Because what you get from Adam is death. That's what you inherit from Adam, that sin nature. It's death. But what you get from the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal life. Look at this. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. That's why that genealogy there. Now, you say one more place before we go back to Genesis? Sure. I want you to look at something here. Look in Romans. Back up to Romans chapter number 5. Now you say, where does this get explained? See, you've got a unique thing. You got in Adam all die. You got in Christ all are made alive. You got the book of the generations of Adam. It's death, 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 death. You got the book of the generations of Jesus Christ. It's so and so begot, made alive, right? It's begot, 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 begot. Now, so how do you explain the difference? Well, in Adam all die. In Jesus Christ shall all be made alive. Well, you go to Romans chapter 5. Wouldn't you think it'd be a chapter 5? Look in verse number 12. Romans chapter 5, verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also as the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God by the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So we know, so see, it's explained right there for you. And wouldn't it happen to be in chapter number 5. Take your Bibles. Let's go back over here. Well, I tell you what. While you're there in Romans, so it's closer, look at Ephesians chapter number 5. Verse number 25. Y'all know what that is, don't you? Your husband should. The wives, I know they know it. That's their verse. The men, they know the verse a couple ones above it. All right, look in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. What does it say? It says, husbands, I think, right? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ. And I can't find Ephesians. Why in the world can I not find Ephesians? There, where'd it go? Where'd it go? Where'd you go? There you go. All right, well, somewhere in there. There he is. All right. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. My preacher used to have a saying back home. He said a funeral and a marriage is the same thing. He said the man's dead either way. Now, spiritually and physically, that's true. Jesus Christ loved himself enough to give his life for his bride, right? Adam died for his type of death. God put him to sleep. Say, did God kill him? I don't know if God killed, you know. I know that they say that there's a scientist that studied that passage where God made a deep sleep to fall upon Adam and took his rib out. They say the scientist that studied that passage, he's the first one to come up with the use of chloroform. That may be true, may not be. I don't know. That's the popular teaching. But here's the thing. Whether God put him to sleep or whether God actually let him die and then brought him back to life, what's the big deal? He created him in the first place, right? But nonetheless, he died to get his type of his bride. You know what? That's what Jesus Christ had to do. He had to die to get his bride. You know what? When two people get married, that's the problem. You know, I can tell you the problem in any marriage when one refuses to die. Right? See, really, you're both dead. I mean, we joke about it and say the man's dead either way, but theoretically, both of you should be dead. Say, why? Because two have become one. You got to die to self to put forth the other one. And when you have problems in marriage, it's usually because one refuses to die. But notice here. So you see, Jesus Christ. But notice, that's chapter 5, verse 25. You think that's significant? Take your Bibles. Let's go back over here. Where are we at? Look in Genesis. Let's look at this one. Number 5 is cool because there's so many of these things. In Genesis chapter number 2, let's look at something, all right? So I got to looking at it and I said, well, let's look at the first occurrence of these words, all right? In Genesis chapter number 2, Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. This is the first time you see the word die. 2:17. 2 plus 1 is 3, plus 7 is what? 10. That's a multiple of 5. Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 17. Where is that? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely what? Die. It's the first time the word die occurs. It's in 2:17. Alright? The first time the word die, D-I-E-D. That's in Genesis 5:5. We already looked at that one, right? 5:5, that's 10. Multiple of 5, divide by 2, you get 5. Alright? Take your Bibles, look in Genesis 21. 21:16. That's the first time you see the word death. So die, died, and death. Genesis 21:16. 2 plus 1 is 3. Plus 1 is 4. Plus 6 is 10. Divided by 2 is 5. Thank you. All right. Genesis 21:16. First time you see the word death. And she wept and sat down over against her and him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. I mean, this thing, it gets wilder and wilder. Take your Bibles. Look over there in John 15, verse 13. John 15:13. You know this. Very popular verse. Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 13. Jesus says here, greater love hath no man than this, that a man what? Lay down his life for his friends. And that's what he was about to do. So in other words, great love is defined by willing to die. 15:13. You add those up, you're going to get something divisible by 5, I hope. You're going to get 10. Divisible by 5. You know, you go into the Old Testament, the brazen altar that they killed all the sacrifice, that they burned all the sacrifices on, it was 5 cubits by 5 cubits. Say, what about the height? Well, that was 3 cubits. Say, well, what did that add to? That won't add to 5. No, it'll add to 13. And that's not a good number either. But it was 5 cubits by 5 cubits. You know, there's lots of things. Benjamin, you ever wondered, you know, you say, where does this help me? Well, how many of you, if you ever study about Joseph, you remember how Joseph got sold into slavery by his brothers? And then the famine came, and the brothers had to go down there, and then they had to bring Benjamin back, you know. God, Joseph made him bring Benjamin. And you know, when he loaded Benjamin's bag, you ever wondered why it says he put 5 times more in Benjamin's bag than the other brothers? Benjamin's mother died in childbirth. See, when you start connecting the dots with these numbers, it'll open up Bible study to you. See, when God puts a number on something, you can bet there's a significance about it. Now you say, well, what if I can't figure it out? Well, God may not allow you to figure it out. He may not allow me. He may not allow anybody. But when God puts numbers on things, it is significant. It's for a reason and it's for a purpose. Now I realize, you know, when the Bible was originally written, it didn't have the verses in the chapters. But God inspired some man to put them in there. And we can learn some things from that. Studying out these numbers. Alright, you know, let's look over here at this one. Take your Bibles, let's go back to Genesis. Because, you know, so much is found there. That's a great, look at the very last verse in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number, 50? Yeah, there's 50 chapters. Genesis chapter 50, look at verse 26. Now, let me ask you something. In Genesis, we see creation, but we see sin, right? What is the result of sin? Lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So how do you think the book of Genesis ends? The history of the beginning of man, and it ends with death. Look at Genesis chapter number 26. So Joseph died being 110 years old, divisible by 5. And they embalmed him and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Egypt is the greatest type of the world in the Bible. Isn't that wild that God ended the book of Genesis with somebody dying and being put in a coffin in the world? Say why? That's the result of sin. All men lay dead in this earth somewhere. I'm talking about their bones. Lay dead in this earth somewhere as a result of Adam's sin. How God started it and what had happened, He ended it here. But you say, what's unique? Well, if you count the words in that verse, you say, oh, we're getting down to counting words and verses. Sure, why not? It's fun. In Genesis chapter, Genesis chapter 50, verse 26. Genesis chapter 20, verse 26. There are 23 words there. 2 plus 3 is 5. You can't beat it with 2 sticks. Egypt has 5 letters. Thank you, miss. So does world, doesn't it? See, it's all death. I mean, boy, this stuff, I mean, you start thinking about this stuff now, and you say, well, can we carry this to the far depth end and fall off the, you know, yeah, we can probably go off the deep end of this. I mean, maintain some sanity, but it's still pretty awesome. And when you start thinking about, you know what? There's time, I mean, every one of us in here, if you be 100% perfectly honest, sometimes the devil will come along or your flesh will come along and you'll think, you know what? I'm just not really, what if that Bible is wrong? I mean, if that Bible's wrong, we're in a mess. I've wasted, 15 years of my life. They could have been doing something, well, the ministry's fun, but maybe, you know, by worldly standards, a lot more fun. You know, I mean, I guarantee I'd have more hair. and what I got would be not as gray. All right, and I might be healthier. I don't know. I might not. That's a 50-50. But nonetheless, you know, if the Bible's wrong, we're in trouble. But you know what? Sometimes it's good to think about. We know by faith. We trust it by faith. We believe it's real. But yet, you know, sometimes I get to thinking about it and I'm like, you know what? Wait a minute. There's no way. I had a man tell me. I taught this whole series in prison one time, and not because I was in prison, but you know what I mean. I had a prison ministry, and I taught this whole series, and I had a man come to me, and he said, yeah, well, the only reason all those numbers come out is because the Masons wrote the Bible, and they were good with numbers. And I'm like, well, that's pretty interesting, because Moses wrote what he wrote about 2,000-3,000 years before Paul wrote what he wrote. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm like, just take that somewhere else. You know, so but you see, this here, these are phenomenal things. The number 5 in your Bible is extremely phenomenal. I tell you what, let's get one more. I know we're getting close to time, but let's get one more just for the sake of it. And that way we'll have to be number 7. I was hoping to get at least through number 6. Let's hit number 6, and I'll give you that one real quick. Most of you are familiar with this one. 6 will always be connected with man about probably, you know, way more times than not. 6 will be connected with man. You say, how do you know? Well, man was created on what day of the week? 6th day of the recreation. 6th day of the recreation, man was created. Notice here, let's see, where do we want to go for that? The first time you see the number 6, Genesis 7, verse 6. Genesis 7, verse 6, that's the first time we see the number 6. Genesis chapter 7 and verse number 6. Now you say, what about the 6th? Well, the 6th appears before, because it says the morning and the evening were the 6th day, but we're looking at the word 6. So the first time it occurs is Genesis 7, 6. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters came upon the earth. Now you say, well, that's significant. Not only is it the first occurrence of 6, but that Noah was 600 years old when the floods came upon the earth. Anybody have a roughly idea about the history of man on the earth? Now I realize in Genesis 1:1, God created the heaven and the earth. It was fully functional, habitable, all those things. God destroyed that original creation, Genesis 1:2. And the recreation is Genesis 1:3 through the end of the chapter. And from Genesis 1:3 till now, we've got 6,000 years. From the history of Adam to now is roughly 6,000 years. What big event are we waiting on? Well, the rapture, of course, but what happens after that? 7-year tribulation, right? And then you got a 7-year tribulation, and then you've got a 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ, right? That's the 7th day. The 1,000th year, the 7th day. God rested on the 7th day. Those are pictures of that. Isn't it wild that Noah, it's said to be, you know, over there in Matthew, no, excuse me, in Luke, it says, so as it was in the days of the Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. See, Noah is likened unto the period right before the tribulation. And he was 600 years old before the floods came. See, that's wild when you start thinking about these things. 6 is man's number. We've got 6,000 years, and then God's going to set this thing up right. God gave him six. He was created on the 6th day. You know, if you go over, you can go over to Revelation chapter 13, verse 18. Most of you know this. We'll flip over there real quick. Oh, by the way, before we go over there, though, think about something. Think about this. Enoch, you know, he was raptured out right before Noah. That's the type of the church, being raptured out right before the tribulation. And then you got the tribulation was, or the flood was a destruction of the earth. The tribulation is God's judgment on the earth. Then he redone everything new with Noah and his family. It's all a picture there in the Old Testament of what was going to happen in the new. Let's take our Bibles and go to Revelation chapter number 13. Revelation chapter 13, most of you are familiar with this. We get over there for the number of the Antichrist. Now, a lot of people get this confused, and they, you know, secular people and even religious people alike, they've gotten it confused, and they say, oh, the mark of the beast is 666. That's not true. The mark of the beast is not necessarily 100% defined in the Bible. There's some evidence to point to what it might be. But in Revelation chapter 13, 666 is the number of the beast. It's not the mark, it's the number. But notice not only that, it's a number connected directly at a man. And it's three sixes. Six is connected with man. Revelation chapter 13, verse 18, by the way, 18 is three sixes. Revelation chapter 13, verse 18. And my Bible is not cooperating. Here we go. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 666. There's some interesting things in the Bible. You'll find that number 666, if you want to jot these down, you'll find it in Ezra 2:13. Ezra 2:13, you'll find the number 666. 2 + 1 = 3 + 3 = 6. You'll find that number, 666. In 2 Chronicles 9:13, you'll find that number, 666. In 1 Kings 10:14, you'll find the number 666. And of course, it's connected with not so good of things, the amount of gold that Solomon was able to obtain and some other things there. But so the number of six, it's going to be connected with a man. God's revelation to man is summed up in how many books? 66 books. That's God's revelation to man. Matter of fact, Jesus Christ, what's interesting is Jesus Christ is said to be the what? The Word. He's said to be the Word. But what was Jesus Christ? He was God manifest in the flesh when God became man. So in God's Word, you think it's coincidence that we have 66 books? No, of course not. Tables of showbread. In the table of showbread in the tabernacle, it had 12 loaves of bread. You could say, well, that's one for each tribe of Israel. Yeah, but they were in two rows of six. The bread is likened unto the Word of God. 66. It tells you how many books should be in the Bible. That's how you know the canon is 66. And don't have to worry about those apocryphal books and all that other stuff, or the book of Judas, or the book of Dead Sea Scrolls, or the book of Thomas. Now, the Bible talks about other books. There's other books that the Bible talks about, other prophecies, other books of the kings, you know. But you know what? God didn't see fit to put those in there. I guarantee you, there's other letters. Paul probably wrote, Paul may have wrote more than 14 letters, but God included the ones he did in the book. Why? Because he wanted 66 books. So you see, all these numbers are significant. So it's just a fun study. I realize you say, well, can I do anything spiritually with it? Well, you can do two things. You can encourage yourself in the fact that God wrote His book. And if God is a God of numbers and pays detail to numbers, then it's significant. And I'll give you one if you want to study it out on your own. There's only one woman in the Bible whose age was given when she died. God numbered a lot of men in the Bible, but He only picked one woman. Maybe there's something significant with her number and her name. You can look that up, those of you that can find it. There's only one woman. You see, when God does these things, it's not just, I don't think it's just, you know, by chance or by accident. It's the words of God, and it's very, very important. All right, so next week, we'll take the second part of this. We're going to take number 7 through 100. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to take number 7 through 13. You say, are there other numbers after 13 you can do something with? Yeah, but we just don't have time. You know, but these are some of the main ones. And they help you with your Bible. They help you with studying your Bible. Like, why did Benjamin get 5 times as much? Makes sense. His mother died in childbirth. So there's lots of cool things and lots of interesting things we're going to show you. So I hope you come back and get the second half of this. So Bible numbers part 1. We'll do number 2 next week. All right.